Wow. Yeah, today I'm so excited to open up the Word with you guys. I have so much anticipation for what the Lord is going to do in the next months to come here as a church family. And specifically in the month of May, we're going to be doing a series really focused in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Anybody familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 12? And if you're not, I'll shed some light on it today, but we really want to actually teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our church and not just in our school. How many know we have a school of ministry? But we want to teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit on a Sunday because we want to see all of y'all, say all y'all, we want to see all of you equipped and empowered to fulfill your purpose in Christ. All of you. And it should not just be the person with a microphone who knows how to heal the sick. Can I hear an amen? Okay, it shouldn't just be the person with a microphone who knows how to prophesy. Can I hear an amen? Okay, some of you guys are already like, I don't even know what that means. It's like, well, you're going to learn in the month of May that every believer is called to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, prophesy, speak in tongues. Everybody is. And I think it's time for us not to make that, not to call that stuff weird. Because Paul didn't think that stuff is weird, who was martyred for Jesus. Like, John didn't think that was weird. The disciples, the apostles did not think that stuff is weird. That is God operating through his people. And Jesus said, and this is a strong, I wasn't even planning on saying this, but Jesus said, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, meaning this, he's talking about don't curse or say the Holy Spirit, the only one who can save people is evil. Do you know the context of that? I didn't even know I was going to say this today. The context when Jesus, because some of you think maybe you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Let me clear that up this morning, straight off the bat. Jesus, when he was confronted, they said, you cast out demons with the help of demons. Anybody remember this passage? It's like, you're casting out demons with the help of demons, Jesus. The prince of demons is helping you. And Jesus says to those Pharisees, he says, do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Don't call the Holy Spirit who is holy an unclean spirit. Don't call what's holy unclean is what Jesus is saying. And we've done this for too long in the church where we've just said, well, those things are weird and those things are for those crazy charismatics. I'm okay with being a crazy charismatic if it's God. And it's God wants to use his people in those gifts. And so if you want to learn how to operate in those, we're going to be teaching on that in May. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And we hope to kind of clear up any confusion on that stuff and really teach it in a sound way. Pastor Matthew is going to be teaching on the gift of tongues, which is going to be so good. And he's packing a really good message for that. How many appreciate Pastor Matthew? And we'll hear from a lot of our teachers and pastors here. But before we get into that, I want to lay a foundation so that we can operate in all that God has for us. Amen? And so I want to lay a foundation for us today. And so I want you guys to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But we're going to start at the last verse. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, and specifically 31b. So it's the last part of 31. And it's going to be up on the screen. And so the context again for 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the church of Corinth. And at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, after he lists all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the movement of the Holy Spirit, this is what Paul says. He says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. I show you still a more excellent way. What is the more excellent way that Paul is talking about? Some of you guys are like, love. Well, you guys are super Christians. You get a gold star, okay, because you've read your Bible. So Paul he's saying, hey, here's all of these gifts. Here's all of these amazing things that God wants to do through his people. He wants to work miracles. He wants to do signs and wonders. He wants the sick to be healed through you. He wants to prophesy through you. He wants you to speak in other tongues and interpret tongues. How many know that's a gift of the Holy Spirit? He wants to do all these things through you, but there is something even greater than the gifts of the Spirit. Did you know that? That there is something even greater than being able to move mountains with faith. There's something greater than having a life that we would say is supernatural or above the norm. And the Bible says that the more excellent way is the way of love. It's the way of love. That Jesus died to give us this love. Jesus didn't just love you so that you could be loved. He loved you so you could become love. He didn't just die on the cross so that you could be like, I've been loved by God. No, he died so that you could be baptized in love and become that thing. And so I want to show you guys this. So we're going to read the first 3 verses in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, it's good to read the Bible in context. Because when you take the text out of its context, you're left with a con. Some of you guys got that. But when you read the Bible in its context, the Bible preaches for itself. It actually teaches for itself. And I would be wary of YouTube influencers who don't preach the Word of God. I'd be wary of people who don't actually preach from the text. So let's look at what 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Has anybody ever heard a little toddler play the drums before? Anybody ever heard that? Anybody, I mean, if Cruz was, he was in here during worship, but if Cruz got back here on this drum set, I'm telling you the number one thing that he would hit is the cymbals. And all it sounds like is just crashing. It's just, and it's like, someone turn the cymbals off. Okay, so that's the picture of this right here. Again, verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains or move mountains. Come on, he's talking about mountain moving faith. But if I do not have love, I am nothing. Do you hear that language? If I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. Verse 3, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned as a martyr, many translations say, even martyrdom, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing. Here's what I want to submit to you guys today on this amazing Sunday is the gifts of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit is just noise. Let me say that again. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, apart from the fruit of the Spirit in operation in our life, all it is noise. Are you guys okay? We're going to get to the gifts, and it's so exciting, and all of us should operate in the gifts. But if we don't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in operation in our life, we are noisy Christians who don't bring transformation to the world. Because if you don't have love, what you do is you have a lot of you instead of a lot of him. Because the opposite of love is your selfishness. And so what happens is when we don't have love operating in our lives, when we don't have love operating in our lives, when you start to heal the sick, you think it's you instead of Jesus. When you start to prophesy, you'll start to think of a way to monetize your prophetic gift. You'll be like, well, I'm the gifted one. I've got this gift, so maybe I can ask people to give me money to give them a prophetic word. That's called, someone said, that's called prostitution. It's, in a sense, what it really is, palm readers do that. It's called witchcraft. When you use the gifts of the Spirit for your own gain, it's witchcraft. Because the gifts of the Spirit are not to elevate you, they're to elevate Jesus and bring people to Jesus. So when we see someone operating in the gifts of the Spirit, are you guys okay? I hope this is not like over the top for some of you in here. And it's like, if you're hearing me and you're like, I don't even understand what he's talking about, just stay with us through the month of May, okay? Just come to every service through the month of May and you're gonna learn what I'm talking about. But for some of you, you guys are tracking with me, amen? Right, you're tracking? And so we could be the most gifted individual, but it's scary when you don't have love because you start to turn every eye towards you. Preachers do this. Anointed men and women of God do this, where they think because they have these gifts operating in their lives, there's something special. Let me tell you, God is not impressed with your gifts. He's not impressed because they came from him anyways. So it's like, some of us are like, I heal so much people. I prophesy like I'm the craziest prophet. That's just Jesus operating through you. He's not impressed with your gift. He's just, that's himself. If he was actually to say something about it, he'd be like, I know, I'm pretty impressive, right? I'm pretty impressive. You're a vessel. I'm impressive. Yeah, I'm healing through you. But it has nothing to do with how much you fast and pray. It has everything to do with my charis grace, his charisma grace. It has nothing, because the moment that we think we got something by something we did, you think you earned a gift that's free. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit come by the blood of Jesus. The only reason you can even have the Holy Spirit is because you're a blood-bought temple. You've been paid for with blood. The Holy Spirit can't live in something unholy. He only lives in something that's been made holy, and the only thing that can make any of us holy in here is the blood of Jesus. And so it's not like, oh, you earned the Holy Spirit. You can't earn the Holy Spirit. You can't pay for the Holy Spirit. You don't give an offering to receive the Holy Spirit. That's witchcraft. Any preacher, anybody who ever does that and says, if you give an offering, you'll have a greater anointing, do not give the offering. You cannot buy it. It's only been bought by the blood of Jesus. It's only been bought by the blood. All of this is free. All of it is a gift. Can you imagine paying for a gift for yourself? That's not a gift. That is something that you bought. Jesus bought the gift so that you could receive it freely. Amen? And so, all of that was free for you today. I don't even know where that came from. But here's the reality. The gifts of the Holy Spirit reveal the power of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit or the love of the Holy Spirit reveals the heart of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. The gifts of the Holy Spirit reveal the power of God. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit reveals the personality or the heart of the Holy Spirit. We don't want the world just to know God's power. We want to know God's personhood. Are you following me? We don't want people just to know that God is powerful. We want the world to know God's heart. We want the world to know God's love. And this is what we're talking about today. I'm going to say some bold things and then maybe we'll clean it up at the end, but I'm just gonna say it. I believe this with all my heart. The entire goal of the Christian life is not that you would prophesy. The entire goal of the Christian life is that you would love and let there be light. Bada boom. The lights agree with me. Linda, thank you. Now you guys will remember that. Remember when he said that and the lights turned on? That was supernatural. That must have been God. It's like, no. Let me say it again so that you remember this. The entire foundation and goal of the Christian life is not that you would move in power, it's that you would move in love. If you move in all of these things, but you do not have love, you're just making noise. I don't want to be noisy. I want to bring transformation. I don't want to be a noisy Christian. I want to be a fruitful one. And I want to bear fruit that remains. There's a lot of noisy Christians around the world today. They're just making noise, but they're not bringing transformation. And so I want to read this verse. This is John 13:35. I love what Jesus says here. He says this, "By this all men," say all men, "will know that you are my disciple." Who wants to be a disciple of Jesus? Who's a disciple? Disciple is just another word for a follower or a student of his ways. All men will know that you are my disciples or you belong to Jesus if you have love for one another. So if the world comes into Valley Church, but they don't recognize that we love each other, if the world was to come in here and they didn't experience the love of God, we are just like the world. And I'm not saying that we are in this church. This is such a loving church. But I want you to hear this point, and I want to read this. This is not going to be on the screens, but I was thinking of this during worship. This is 1 John 4:7. It says this, "Beloved," say beloved. And it says, "Let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Let me read that one more time. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God is love. That's as clear as day to me. That we actually, you can't say that you know Jesus if you hate your brother. And actually, John says that in 1 John chapter 3. He literally says that if you say you know God but you hate your brother, you're lying and you don't even belong to Jesus. That's convicting. If you say, yeah, I love Jesus, I really love people, but there's this one person that I just hate. That word should not even come out of the mouth of a believer. I know that's convicting, but if Jesus died on the cross and he's being crucified, and his own creation is nailing him there and ripped off his flesh. And Jesus, all that comes out of his mouth is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How many know hatred and unforgiveness should not be in the heart of a believer? It shouldn't be. It actually doesn't even make sense to God that we could receive such crazy forgiveness from such a patient Lord. I heard a preacher on Good Friday say this. He said Jesus spoke 7 times on the cross. Did you guys know this? 7 times. And every time Jesus had to spoke on the cross, after he was whipped, flogged, 39 lashes on his back, his flesh was ripped off his back, he had to, in order to speak, he had to press on the nails with his feet. This is God, okay? This is the Son of God. He had to actually press on the nails, and his back that was ripped is now dragging on a rugged cross. Splinters in torn flesh. And Jesus is pressing his whipped, flogged back to let the world know, you mean so much harm to me, but I've come to love you. You mean so much harm. You don't even know who you're murdering right now, but Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I've come to pay a debt. It is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. And so love personified is Jesus Christ. God is love. He is love personified. And if we follow love, we will become love. I love how simple the Bible makes us operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus puts it this way. He's the master teacher. He says this. He said, signs and wonders follow those who follow me. Signs and wonders follow the ones that believe in me. So what's Jesus saying? If you just follow me, signs and wonders are just going to follow you. Okay, that's a bigger revelation for me than maybe for you. But I think that's crazy because all of us want to move in this stuff. And Jesus is saying, if you just follow the way of love, my gifts will follow you effortlessly. If you just follow me, they will follow you with ease. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are tools to serve people. That's really all that they are. And I mentioned this before, but this I wrote this down and it's too good not to say, I feel. Spiritual gifts or the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not spiritual badges to affirm that you're more spiritual than other people. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is not a badge that goes, I'm a super Christian and you're not. Because I move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I'm better than you. No, you're not. You're not better than a Baptist. You're not better than that. But we think that way oftentimes, or at least I've thought that way, is like, I've got the revelation and they don't. Because I'm moving in power and they're not. No, you were a sinner. Don't forget that. You were apart from Jesus. And yeah, maybe the Lord has showed you something, but it doesn't make you better than anybody. Spiritual gifts are not badges, they're bridges. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is not a badge for you to flaunt how supernatural you are. It's a bridge to the way of love. It's actually, you have to see it this way. When someone gets healed or when you give a prophetic word, it's not so people are like, wow, you're anointed and appointed. You spiritual Christian, you. That's not what that is. And you shouldn't feel that way. You just got used by God. He just puts you on like a glove and he could take you off at any moment. He literally can. He's God. He can do whatever he wants, but we can't let that get to our head. Instead, it's a bridge to reveal the heart of God and his love for the person. Not a badge, it's a bridge. When I was in school of ministry, when was this? In second year, when I was in school of ministry, I think I was 19 years old, and I was going to South Africa for the second time. Anybody been on a mission trip before? They're the best. And I was going to South Africa for the second time, and there were some things I wanted to see God do that I've never seen before, and one of them was deaf ears opening. I really wanted to see God open deaf ears. How many people believe that Jesus can do that, right? So one of them was like, yeah, I want to see deaf ears open, and I want to move in power like I've never moved in power before. And I was going to get prayer from a pastor there named Haley Braun. And she's from South Africa. And I was like, I'm going to go up to her and ask her for the keys of South Africa. Such a spiritual thing we say, you know. It's like, I know that you're from South Africa. Can you give me the keys? And I'm about to go up to Haley for prayer. And I did get prayer from her. But before I went up to Haley, God spoke to me. And I'm walking up to her, and the Holy Spirit whispers, and he says this, Jonah, if you just lean in to my love and joy, I will move through you effortlessly. And I take another step, And then he says it again. If you love my people and have joy towards my people, the gifts will flow without you even thinking. And I was like, okay, I'm going to lean into your joy. I'm going to lean into your love. Because how many know that the mark, the true mark of a Christian is love and joy? It's the true mark. I mean, let's go back. 1 Corinthians, and then I'll tell you what happened in South Africa. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, but now faith, hope, and love abide, or in love abide these three, but the greatest of these, greater than faith and hope, is love. I mean, that's crazy to me, because Jesus always confronted people's unbelief. He's always like, why did you doubt me? Or great is your faith. And Paul goes, guys, greater than your faith is your love. More than how much you believe in God, it's how much you love God and are loved by him and love through and loving through him. The greatest thing, the truest mark of a Christian is how much you love people. And 1 John 4, again, it makes this so clear. It's not going to be on your screen, but I know this is in the Bible. It says this, we love because Jesus first loved us. So today at the end of service, we're gonna see people get baptized in the love of God. Because you can't give something you haven't received. If you haven't received love, you can't give love. All of us need to receive God's love for ourselves so we can give it to the world around us. Amen? Are you guys awake this morning? I just feel like God wants to pour out his love. I'll get to the story again, but during worship, I had this picture and this song actually came into my heart. And in this song, I heard this phrase, the reality is your love for me. And this truth sets me free. The reality is your love for me. How many of you guys know the verse, John 8:32? It says this, know the truth and the truth will what? Set you free. Do you guys know that the word truth is the word reality? The word truth there is the word reality, which means what is the most real thing? And I heard the Lord say this when I was down there. He said, my love for you is the reality. And this truth, if you receive this truth, it will set you free. Because a lot of people in here, and I felt this during worship, you talk yourself out of the love of God. Quit talking yourself out of his love and receive it. It's more real than your unworthy thoughts. Come on, I'm gonna preach this for a while because I just need to like hammer this in. God's love for you is more real than what you think. The average human, I think it's like every minute, they can think 400 negative thoughts in a minute about themselves and about the world. And how many know that God's reality or his love for you, there's this realm of love that he wants to plunge you into where you receive it and get free. And I just feel it this morning that if you really want to be free, you really need to get loved. And I'm not talking about the worldly love. I'm not talking about, well, I need another friend or I need a different spouse or whatever you're thinking about. Like, that's sin, by the way. Like, I need to do something. I need to figure something out. No. No one can love you like Jesus. And this is not just something that we sing about or quote because we know John 3:16. His love is supernatural. His love will free you. And if you could just sit in the light of his love, those things that you're thinking about were disqualify you from his presence, he would qualify you with his love in a second if you just sat there long enough to let him love you. There is literally a ray of God's love over you, but we have a cloud that we let sit over us by believing the lies of the enemy over our lives. and we go, well, I don't feel love today. Well, we don't live by feelings. We live by faith. And we live by what his word says. And if his word says you're loved, you need to believe that truth. I need to believe that truth. You know how easy it is for me to wake up in the morning and try and live by my feelings? I don't want to follow my feelings. I'm following a person named Jesus. I'm following his word. Are you guys okay this morning? I'm following his word. I want to grasp this. I need to grasp this, because if I don't grasp this, my love is going to look worldly instead of divine. And there's people who grasp this, like Mother Teresa, she got it. I don't care if she's Catholic. Thank God for the Catholics. I don't care. She's a saint in my book. She loved people. No one even knew who she was because she gave herself to the poor of Calcutta. My sister-in-law has been in Calcutta. She said it smelled like poop there, okay? She's like, it was so rough there. And thinking that this old lady gave herself to loving kids and leading them to Jesus all of her life. She didn't care about being recognized. She didn't care about preaching on a stage. She didn't care about putting her name in a book or something like that. No, she was busy doing the work of Jesus and loving people right where she was at. But if we make life all about us, we won't love like him. All about our career, all about people loving me, all about being known, all about my ambition. God wants to kill your ambition. That's a whole word for another day. Whoops. He does. The whole goal of the Christian life is to become love. It's not any other reason. It's the foundation. It's the reason we move and breathe. And so I did what the Lord told me to do. I went to South Africa. Back to that story. And every day I prayed this prayer. I lean into your love and joy for people today. You're smiling over people. You love people. You have joy for people. I'm leaning into your love and joy for them today. And all I want to do is be a conduit of your love. If the gifts follow, amen. But if people just receive love, that's good enough for me. And I went to this church service in Knysna, South Africa. And I was leading the service with a team. And before the service, as I was praying, leaning into God's love and joy, I got words of knowledge that I was like, there's no way that these are right. Anybody know what a word of knowledge is in here? Raise your hand if you know what a word of knowledge is, right? It's a gift of the Holy Spirit where you know knowledge that you shouldn't know. You only know it by the Lord. And so I'm praying for this service, and I write down in my journal names and dates. I remember writing down Douglas, okay, that's an interesting name. And I'm writing down Rebecca, and then a date next to it. And I'm like, Lord, how about a more like specific word? You're just giving me names and dates. And I start writing this stuff down, and we get to this church service. And instead of beginning the service with me preaching and then ending with ministry, I took a risk and I was like, we're going to start with ministry. And God gave me names of people in this room. How many know I was clenching my butt at this moment? Okay? Just being real. So some of you guys are like, did he just say that in church? So I am a human, okay? Just like you, I'm not a super Christian. I was butt clenching hard, and I was a little nervous. I started to feel sweaty. I was like, I could literally, if you know, and if you've ever prophesied from the stage before, I felt like I could ruin this service so quick. I could suck the faith all out of this room. And so I start literally this service by saying, God gave me names and dates for people. And there's like 150 people in this church service. And I have the name Douglas. Like, how about John, right? Is there a John in here? Come on, raise your hand if you're a John. Okay, a couple, yeah, John Wolf. Yeah, there you go, John. See, that would have been good. There's two of you, all right? Douglas? Is there a Douglas in here today? No, there's not a Douglas in here. There is not a Douglas in here. Not even close. So I say, I'm going to give a name And I say, and the first name is Douglas. Douglas. And I look, and right in the back of this church, this guy shoots up his hand like this. And then he has a tear streaming down his face. Just like instantly, he just goes like this, tear. And I was like, Douglas? You're Douglas? And the guy brings the mic to him, like Pastor Matthew would, or one of our pastors, and brings him the mic, and he says this. His first name was not Douglas, but I'm glad he raised his hand. He said, my name is Struan Douglas. Dutch name, okay? Struan Douglas. And I was like, okay, Struan Douglas. Now what, Lord? Anybody ever have that moment? It's like, I didn't have the name Douglas and then a word of knowledge. I'm like, all I got was his name. What do I do for this guy now? He's just standing awkwardly in this church. And I'm like, come on, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Now, what I'm going to tell you is going to sound so crazy, okay? Maybe for some of you, it'll sound normal. For me, it was like a James Bond Holy Spirit moment, okay? I am standing there, and I say Douglas, and I'm praying, Lord, give me something else for Douglas. I have an open-eyed vision. Anybody know what that means? I did not see with my spiritual eyes or in my mind. I actually physically saw over this guy's head a movie taking place. So this has only happened to me one time. I'm looking at him, and I'm like, and I'm watching him on a green tractor with three boys saying, pa, pa, pa. And I'm looking at him taking care of his farm, okay? And I have the mic and I'm like, Douglas? And he's like, uh-huh. And I was like, do you own a green John Deere tractor? Do you have three boys and they call you pa? Do you own a farm here, somewhere here in this area? And he looks at me, tears just start. He goes, I have a green tractor. I have three boys. They call me pa. I own a farm. Everything that you're saying is true. And I begin to prophesy out of that word of knowledge, and the love of God hits this guy. And after that, every single thing I wrote down was someone in the church. Rebecca, names, dates. It's all happening all over the church. Outside, I'm looking like James Bond, you know? I'm like, I'm totally anointed and appointed for this. Like, you guys, I know how to do all of this. Like, I've done this before. Inside, I'm doing cartwheels. It's like I'm at Wahoo's and I'm freaking out. And because I'm like, I've never, ever received words of knowledge like this. And I get done with the service, and instead of feeling puffed up in my gift, I know the only reason God spoke to me like that is because I'm leaning into his love for people. The only reason God's speaking to me like that is because he's giving me his heart of love and joy for the people around me. After that service, the next day, we did a crusade. Anybody know what a crusade is? Okay, I've probably told this story before, but it's the same trip. Have I told the wet willy deaf ear story in here before? No? Okay, well, here you go. I just ruined the story for you. Okay, so like I said, I always wanted to see deaf ears open. And Jared, you can come on up. I always wanted to see deaf ears open. And I'm praying that same prayer every day. I lean into your love. I lean into your joy for your people here in South Africa. Break my heart for your people. Give me a heart for your people. Let me love the people of South Africa like you love the people of South Africa. Now I'm really praying every morning. Right, I'm in Cape Town. Anybody ever been to Cape Town? It's so beautiful. I'm like walking around looking at the ocean. I'm like, God, fill me with your love for people. I want to love like you. Baptize me in love. Give me your love. It's the greatest thing. It's the foundation of the Christian faith. If I love like you, and I'm praying like this every morning, I'm freaking out because now I'm starting to feel it. You know when you feel like you're bubbling with God's love and joy? Maybe you don't, but you're going to after today, okay? But that feeling where you're like, dude, if I hug you, you're gonna fall out. Like, that's literally how I felt. It's like, if I come near you and you look at my eyes, you're going to see Jesus, because Jesus looks like love. He looks like love. And so I'm in South Africa at this crusade, and The keyboard is going to make this story so funny. But I'm literally there and at this outdoor meeting, and I just go, it's a funny question, but I'm standing there and there's this huge crowd and I go, is anyone here deaf? Which they wouldn't hear me, but remember I was leaning into love and joy, so there's a lot of grace for me. And I ask again, anyone here deaf? Anybody? And then I'm like, oh shoot, does anybody know any deaf people? Anybody here? And there's hands that get lifted all over, like pointing like this person. And so instead of praying from the stage, I so badly wanted to see it for myself that I jumped off the platform. I handed the mic to my friend, like, you're taking this meeting. Boom. And I run off the platform and I run up to this guy and I'm like, are you deaf? What is wrong with me? Like, come on, man. And he looks at me and he says, this is my best South African accent. He's like, yes, but only in one ear, only in one. And I was like, okay, that's good enough, I guess. I'm like, I just wanted like, you know, I'm like thinking like, give me like the double deaf ears. And I hear the Lord say, remember, lean into my love for this person. And I'm like, yes, okay, your love. And I was like, okay, so it's your right ear. Which ear? He's like, yep, it's this. I forget. It was the right ear. And as I'm going to pray for him like we would, right? Because the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they will. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover, okay? Jesus never said pray for the sick. He said heal the sick. We don't ask God to do something he asked us to do. Okay, that you'll learn that in a couple months or next month. But I go to lay my hands on this guy's deaf ear, and then the Holy Spirit says, stop, stop. I didn't ask you to pray that way. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I always pray this way. And he was like, no. And I had a vision of me, a picture of me giving him a wet willy. And I'm like, heck no, Lord. Heck no, tech no. No way. No way, sir. I'm thinking about him, but I'm also thinking about earwax on my pinky, and I'm just like, nope, 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 nope. I don't know what's in that guy's ear. I don't know. I don't know. And so, I hesitate, and then the Holy Spirit says, do it, do it. And I feel the joy, I feel his love for this guy, and I'm just like, do you trust me? And he's like, I trust you, I trust you. And I was like, no, sir, seriously, do you trust me? He says, I trust you, I trust you. And I'm like, okay, just keep your eyes open when I'm praying for you, okay? You can tell me to stop at any moment. Do not close your eyes. We always say, close your eyes. I'm like, don't close your eyes, brother. Don't, for me and you. And I just go, still trust me? And he's like, oh, I trust you. And I'm like, dude, just say you don't trust me right now. And so I go, and I'm like, you still? And he's like, yes. And I'm like, dude, this is weird. I put my pinky, my wet willy pinky in his ear. And I just go, in the name of Jesus, ear open. I take my pinky out. And I said, close your good ear, man. Close your good ear, brother. Closes his good ear. And I stand. If it was Fallon, I'm not going to give you a wet willy. But if it's Fallon, right? So she would close her good ear. And I just would be like right here. And I'd be like, Jesus. And he says, you said Jesus. And I'm like, I sure did. I'm like, let's really try this. I stand about here, and I said, do you hear me? And he says, I can hear you. And I was like, what did I say? He's like, you said, do you hear me? And I was like, okay, let's really try, brother. Keep that ear closed. And I'm like, can you hear me now? And he says, I can hear you now. And we just start losing it. And he goes like this. He starts slapping his ear like this, and he's like, it's back, I'm healed. I'm completely healed. And I tell that story so that you don't give people wet willies, okay? That's not the reason I tell you that story. I tell you that story because leaning in to the Holy Spirit is the most fun thing that you can do on the planet. It's such an adventure. But everything begins to flow when love becomes your highest goal. So let me end with this verse. This is all in context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Look at the order. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And I want you to see this. The order is specific for a reason. Pursuing something is greater than desiring it. Pursuit is higher than desire. I could have had a desire to date my wife before we were married, but my heart was like, I got to move past desire and into pursuit. Because if I don't pursue her, somebody else is going to snatch her up. So I've got to go and get that girl. And she's not here because she's visiting family right now. But I was like, I've got to go and get that girl for myself. I can't just desire Alexis. How many know, who knows my wife in here, right? Like, I was like, I can't just desire her. She's going to get snatched up. I've got to pursue her. I've got to ask her out on a date. I've got to get her number. I got to spend every moment with her. That's what I felt like. I was like, I want to call you. I want to FaceTime you for 4 hours. Like, whatever I need to do to lock this in, I'm going to lock this in. Okay, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, lock in, Jonah, lock in. And I did. I began to pursue her with all of my heart because I knew this is going to be my wife. I just knew it. Look at the order again. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. He's saying, chase with everything you can love. Take love on a date. Not really. Like, can you imagine you're going out to, Italianesque or some, you're going out to eat and it's like, is it just you? It's like, no, it's actually me and love today. Okay, they probably kick you out of their store. No, I'm not saying, so you're out of their restaurant. I'm saying, make love your pursuit this year. Get love, find love. Who is love? It's Jesus. He's not just some solemn person. I think sometimes our image of Jesus is that he's just like solemn and lacking joy. No, Jesus is the most love-filled, joyful person in all of existence. Like, he is love and joy personified. That's bubbling out of him. If you get close to that, you'll start looking like that. Are you following me? Like, if you get close enough to his joy, come on, he's funnier than you. Jesus is way funnier than you. Somebody's like, well, I think I'm the funniest. No, Jesus is, he created humor, okay? So just stop it. Like, he is joy and love personified. You get in relationship with that, you start following him and believing in him, the gifts start following you, you're just gonna be walking and gifts are just gonna start pouring out of you. Because it's like, I'm filled with love for you. And the Holy Spirit's going to be like, just lay hands on that guy. Boom, they get healed. People are going to walk in your shadow and they're going to get healed because you're just leaking joy and love everywhere you go. Come on, think about the apostles that we all look up to. Peter, they just wanted to put people in his shadow because he allowed Jesus to overshadow him. His shadow had power. Because he let love overshadow him and cover him, his shadow had power. All right, you can stand to your feet. Last closing scripture, and then I want to invite our prayer team forward. But closing scripture, Colossians 3:14. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of unity or the bond of perfection. Let me read it one more time. Above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So here's my call today, and I'm going to make a call, and then Pastor Matthew will come on up. But I saw this during worship. If you want to be baptized in the love of God, I don't know how that even works, but I just know that that's what we're supposed to do today. If you want God to touch you fresh with his love and you want to receive his love fresh for you today, I want you just to come forward because we can't love like him if we don't receive his love. And so if that's you and you're like, I want to come under that. I want to experience his love. I want to be baptized in his love. I want to know deep down in my soul the love of Jesus for myself so that I can walk in all he has for me. Just come forward. I just feel like God wants to He wants to love on you. He wants to pour out his love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So good. All right, now as you come up here, super simple. Just put your hands out like this, like you're receiving a gift, like you're receiving a gift. Come on, I'm reminded too, just what happened to me at Asbury. It was a fresh encounter with God's love. It changed my life. And we're not going to manipulate this moment. We're not going to rush this. We're not going to force it. There's nothing I can do. Only the Lord can do this. Just keep your eyes closed and just say this with me. Say, Holy Spirit, come. Say, Holy Spirit, come. Now say, I receive your love. Show me your love. I'm going to pray for you now. Lord, I just pray. You don't have to repeat after me. Lord, I pray all over this room that the cloud that is trying to block the ray of your love for every person in this room would be broken. That the heavy cloud, that the unworthy thoughts, that the insecure thoughts, that the I'm not worthy to receive love, that it would be broken off of your people right now. And Lord, I pray for the waterfall of your love, a waterfall of grace, a waterfall of joy would fill your people, Lord, that we would walk in the fruit of the Spirit, that we would receive the love of the Father that only comes through your love, Lord. That we would love like you because we've received your love. And this is, let me just say this too. This is not a one-time experience. This is supposed to, this encounter that happens today for some of you is supposed to propel you to experience it every day. Every day. We shouldn't go a day without experiencing God's love for us. This should be every day. Every single day we should experience and encounter his love. This corporate encounter should lead to daily personal encounters with God. So Father, all over this room, pour out your love. Baptize your people in love. Prayer team, if you can just go forward, and we're going to do it like this today. Just go forward. If we gently just lay hands on people, we're going to have our prayer team go around and do this. Lord, all over this room, I pray, Lord, a baptism of love, a baptism of love today. Baptize your people in love.